We are going to read first 13 verses. Go ahead.
Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called. Mercy unto you, and peace, and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you, and exhort you, that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Amen. Ungodly men,
yes,
turning the grace of our Lord into lasciviousness.
That's right.
And denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not.
Amen.
Glory.
And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains, under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day.
Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignity. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, The Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, and those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever.
Let's start from the verse one again.
Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called.
Okay, now he said, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ. Now, do you know who Jude is? This Jude, he's saying, I'm brother of James. Do you know who the James is? James is the half-brother of Jesus. But Jude is not even saying here, I am half-brother of Jesus Christ. He's humbling himself so much, he says, I'm not even worthy to call Jesus is my brother. I'm calling him, he is my master. I am his servant. So he's humbling himself. Only he says, I identify with my brother James. And then he starts saying, let's read the half of the verse. To them that are sanctified by God,
Amen.
The Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called.
Amen.
And he says, you are sanctified by God. When you say sanctified by God, sanctified means washed with the blood of Jesus Christ. But the same time when you say sanctified means set apart. St. John chapter 17 and read verse 17 and verse 19.
Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth.
Now Amen. Jesus Christ is praying to Father. He says sanctify them through thy truth. Now sanctify them who? The believers. The followers of Jesus Christ. Why say sanctify them? Because they are living in this world. I want these people to be separated. That's what his prayer is. We are living in this world, but we are not belong to this. So we should be sanctified. So we should be separated. And let's read verse 19.
And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth.
Now who is saying this? Jesus Christ is saying, I'm sanctifying myself. Now the sanctification is by the blood of Jesus Christ, then Jesus Christ is not washed with his own blood. What he's trying to say, I have separated myself to God. So he set an example. He came into this world and he's saying, look at me. I am separated from this world. There was not a single man could say Jesus is the sinner. Even the man who gave him or betrayed him, he said he's innocent. Pilate says innocent.
Right.
Peter says he's innocent. Jesus Christ is Holy One of Israel. He's the Holy God. So now he says, Lord, I'm separated from this world. And I want my people to be separated.
Hallelujah.
That's why here we see in Jude, he says, to them are sanctified. He says, already you are sanctified.
Amen.
You are chosen people. We are called by God. And then he says, separated by God the Father, and what? Preserved in Jesus Christ and called.
That's right.
That means when you are called for a purpose,
hallelujah,
you are called with a purpose to stay with Jesus Christ.
Amen. Hallelujah.
If you stay in blood of Jesus Christ, devil has no authority to touch you.
Amen.
That's what the word of God says. If you have seed of God in you, you will not commit sin.
That's right.
People are thinking, how is possible the man can live in this world without sin? But it is possible. If you are plunged in the blood of Jesus Christ, devil has no authority to touch you. Not only that, if you have the seed of God, the word of God in you, you cannot commit sin.
Amen.
The word of God will keep you perfect.
Yes. Oh, yes.
The word of God will keep you holy.
Yes.
The word of God will remind you that you are belong to God.
Yes.
So the word of God is saying they are preserved in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Take a mango or lemon or any kind of things and you make a pickle. You make a pickle means you have some kind of oil preservative or salt preserves you. You keep them in the oil on a salt for years. They will be good enough. But if you take a simple mango piece and keep it there for 3 days, it will be fungus. Say the word of God says, you are preserved in Jesus Christ.
Oh, yes.
You cannot be preserved without Jesus Christ.
That's right. That's right.
If the born-again child of God doesn't want to stay in Jesus Christ, he is in great danger.
That's right.
Because devil is going to destroy you. How many people got saved and backslide? Why? Because devil is there to destroy you. The word of God says, devil is what? Walking around, looking around, seeking to whom he can devour. He wants to destroy you. But the word of God says, if you are sanctified for God, and if you preserve in Jesus Christ,
hallelujah,
devil has no power
that's
over
right
you.
Amen.
And then he says, and called by God. You are called. God is not going to call people who are not living for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God cannot use anyone
right
who is not in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So the word of God says, you set apart first, preserve in Jesus Christ, stay in Jesus Christ, then God will give you calling. The word of God says many are called, but what?
Few
are chosen. I'm talking about the calling for the servant of God, or the calling for the ministry of God, the
amen
calling to preach the word of God.
Right.
That person has to be in Christ.
That's right.
You cannot take a man on the street and say, okay, I want to ordain you for the ministry, because they have to be rooted and grounded in
amen
Jesus Christ.
Right.
Verse 2, what is saying? Mercy unto you, peace and love be multiplied. We got saved by the grace of God. Ephesians chapter 2, it said God was rich in mercy. So we are saved by the grace of God, by the mercy of God. Without Jesus Christ, there is no peace. So we got the peace of God. Without God, there is no love. We learned God is love. That love we saw in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So without Jesus, without God, there is no love. Religion, they're talking about love, but they don't know what the love is.
Amen.
They're talking about peace, they don't know what peace is. Peace comes through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Love we found in Jesus. Mercy and grace is in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
The word of God says the law came by Moses, but the grace and truth came through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So now though we got the peace, we got the mercy, we got the love, but we should not be satisfied. He says what? Be multiplied. He did not say, I want to add some mercy or add some love and add some peace in you. What he says? I want to multiply.
Amen.
Multiply means you should be abundantly filled with God's mercy, God's love, and God's peace. If you stay in Jesus Christ, it will multiply. Let's go and read verse 3.
Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints.
He said, I was thinking to write to you. And he was thinking, what should I write to these people? When pastor says something, oh, he's pointing me out, he singled me out, and things like that. Because once you study the word of God together and the message comes, message will come to each and every one of us.
Amen.
We should not be thinking, pastor is singling me out. What is the pastor's goal? If all the church members start hating pastor and don't come to church, then what? There is no church. If there is no sheep, there is no shepherd.
That's right.
If there is no believers, there is no pastor. So many, many pastors, they do not preach the truth. They preach the soothing messages.
That's right.
If you say something, they will have itching ears. But the Jude said, I was thinking about it. What should I say? Shall I just say about common salvation? Each and every believer is saved and born again. Compared with the salvation of Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints, many people are thinking they're all equal. But that's not my subject here. Subject is this. He says, this is needful. What is needful? Let's read. It was needful for me to write unto you.
It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints.
Now what he's trying to say, I want to exhort you, telling you something that God has done some great things for you. What he has done, he has given you the faith. Everybody says, I have faith. Every person, he says, I have faith. But you know, the word of God says, how faith comes? Faith comes by hearing of the word of God. Another thing, we read in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 2. What it says? Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. So the Jesus Christ is the one who is creator of faith. He is invented faith, and he gives you faith. Without Jesus, there is no faith. And then we read, when you fill with the Holy Spirit, there is a one gift called what? Gift of faith. That is only given to the believers. And he says, it's given to you once. What does it mean? If God has given us faith, that faith you have to hold on. Paul writes, shipwreck of what? Faith. Many people deny faith. Many people can be backslidden. Book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 1, please read.
Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us.
Sin which doth so easily beset us. What is that sin? Unbelief. That's what it is. So, when you read the second verse, then it says, what? Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. And if you go back and read the 11th chapter, all from Abel and to all the Old Testament saints, he talks about faith. So, that's what he's saying. Now he's saying, the faith is given to you, delivered to you once and for all.
Amen.
So, what do you do with that faith? Fight for that faith. The devil is going to snatch out your faith. Go back to the Jude chapter 1 verse 3 one more time.
Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith.
Earnestly contend for your faith. What does it mean? You have to fight. The enemy is going to come to snatch your faith away. That's why we have to hold on. There is a teaching going on. Once you saved, saved forever. This morning I was listening to one radio program. He says, if you are saved once, you are saved forever. Devil cannot steal your faith. Devil cannot do anything. Because once you saved, saved forever. If that's the way it is, then Jude will not be concerned.
That's right.
Right? Jude doesn't have to be concerned then. Why he has to worry? He says, you know, I'm writing this thing to you, to exhorting you. I want you to fight for your faith. Don't allow devil to just snatch it. You hold on. That's what God wants us. Believers should not be shaken by the wind of doctrines. You have to know the word of God and the truth of God. So any enemy comes to you, you will not be shaken. That's why he said, hold on. Okay, let's go to the verse 4. The reason he's giving here, why you have to hold on.
For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Now while these people are coming, he said, I want to write to you to hold on to your faith, fight for your faith, because certain men came to you. How did they come? Creeping. When you say creeping, the things which are creeps, like scorpions, snakes, and other creeping things, you don't watch for them because they've just come so low. You always look a little bit half up, and you are not watchful to those creeping things comes to you. So he said there are some people have come to you like a creeping things and came to your church, or came to your congregation, or came to your house, or came to your work, or wherever you are. And what they will do? Try to destroy your faith. Believe what their lifestyle is, and they will say, you don't have to have grace of God. We can do without Jesus. We don't need Jesus all the time. Singing all the time about Jesus and working everywhere and just saw Jesus, Jesus everywhere. I said, why are you talking about Jesus all the time? I went to one house. And one man was watching. I didn't know somebody was watching. Before I went to that house, before that door opens, I prayed, Lord, give me grace and let this house has peace. You let your peace come into this house. Then they gave me food. I prayed over food. Then we say, okay, we're going for shopping. I was guest in their house. Before I went out again, I prayed. And I stayed there all night and I prayed nighttime. And next day, the man asked me a question. I'm watching you all the time. Are you praying every time? I say, yes, sir. Do you pray for your water any time? I said, I'm glad that you asked. Even though if there is no glass and I'm drinking water from the tap, I pray over the water. Because the Word of God says, you eat or drink or anything you do, do it for the glory of God.
Yes.
And I say, when you sanctify your food by prayer, it will be sanctified.
That's right.
It will be cleansed. Amen. So what I'm trying to say, there are people will tell you why you need prayer all the time. Why you read Bible all the time. Some people read the Bible or pray, they get crazy. And you have seen some crazy people say, why I'm doing? Jesus told me to do. They are demonic people, take the name of Jesus Christ, doing evil things, and giving a bad example that people should not be reading Bible, praying all the time, they will be crazy. These kind of people, they are coming, how they are? Ungodly men. They are not godly, and turning the grace of our Lord to what? With unclean mind, not only that, they want everything as selfish. Everything for their self, their body, and their life. They are not thinking about spiritual life. They are carnal minded.
Amen.
Those people are dangerous. And what he's trying to say, they denying only God. What does it mean? They say there is not only one God. We should have many gods. In India, in some other countries, they have different God for different reasons. And in America also, they found out the similar problem. Different saints for different problems. If your purse lost, go to some saint. If you need a blessing, go to some saint. So what I'm trying to say, they're denying you don't have to have one God. Our God cannot come there, so it's in New York, should have another God. So these creeping people, the ungodly people, will tell you ungodly things. Not to believing the Lord God or the Lord Jesus Christ. When you say, why you need one master? Why you need one Lord? Why you need one Jesus? I got all sufficient one.
Amen.
I'm not looking for another God. So our God is the Holy God. Jesus Christ called Holy One of Israel. Without Jesus, There is no other God. So we are not going to follow anybody. Okay, let's see verse 5.
I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not.
What he's trying to say? I want to give you some remembrance. Or if you are forgotten, I want to let you know. Now this teaching, tell any person who doesn't believe, if the eternal security is right, then the Jude will not write this.
Amen.
To the children of God.
Right.
He says, what happened? Those people were called. Those people were saved. He's talking about Israel came out of Egypt.
Yeah.
And what happened to them? Because of their unbelief, they died in the wilderness. Let's go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, and read from verse 16 and 19.
For some, when they had heard, did provoke.
Go ahead, read that.
Albeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief.
Because of sin, because of unbelief, God did not bring them to kill them. Did he? No. He wanted those people to enjoy the blessing. So if it happened to them, it can happen to you. That's what he's trying to say.
Yes, sir.
Let's read verse 6.
And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day.
Now, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Then we'll come back. Peter also saying the same thing.
For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment.
Now what he's trying to say, if God did not spare the angels, this is the point. If God did not spare the angel when they committed sin, they lost their place. And where are they now? They're in the darkness and chain. They are like the dogs on a leash. So you don't have to be afraid of them because they are on leash. They come like a roaring lion. They're not a lion. God did not spare those. They are now in the darkness and they lost their place. They had their own place. They lost their place. You have your own place. You should not be losing your place. Each and every believer has a place in the kingdom of God. Moses starts saying, Lord, take my name off. I'm not good enough. What God says, I'm not going to take your name. Whoever is committing sin, I will take their name off. Let's go to verse 7.
Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire.
2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 to 9. Now here he says a little bit much more than Jude is saying. So let's come and compare.
Spare not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished.
Now the Jude just gave the example of Sodom and Gomorrah. But Peter starts talking about the flood. When you read about the flood, the word of God says before the flood came into this world, every man's heart was evil. Sodom and Gomorrah, also the word of God says that that city was a bad city, but Lot chose that city. And what happened when he went there, living with the unbeliever and unsaved people, his heart was getting what? Bad. What happened when Abraham starts saying, if there are 50 people saved, so okay, 40, 30, 20, 10, not a 10 people were there.
Amen.
That's why the whole, all surrounding city were destroyed. So what the word of God is trying to say, if God could destroy the whole world, destroy the whole city of Sodom and Gomorrah, what about us? if we do not keep our faith in God, God will destroy us. Simple as that. Jude verse 8 and 9.
Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee."
Let's read again, I said Peter, and then I'll come back. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 10 to 14.
But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to ride in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children.
Peter is giving more example about these people, who those people are. And here Jude is saying, these are filthy dreamers. When they dream, what they dream? They dream sinful things.
Right.
If you start enjoying your filthy dreams, then he will get hold of you.
Amen.
Unconscious mind, he will come to you, and then you will come to reality, destroy your life. So they said these filthy dreamers, what they do? They think doing bad to the higher authorities. Did you see how many people go all the time against the government, against the churches, against the pastors, and they're always dreaming how we should plan to do evil things. And they are dreaming, they are planning, and they're exercising their filthy things. And the Word of God is saying, but he's giving an example. He says, Michael the archangel. The Michael is the fighter. One angel could fight thousands of people in one time. So this mighty angel comes. When he came, Moses died, and the devil comes to take his body. Now somebody will say, why the devil was taking Moses' body? Devil was watching when Moses made a mistake. God said to him, speak to the rock. What did he do? He smite the rock twice. First time God said to Moses, hit the rock and the water will come. And he did it, water came. Second time God says, now this time you're going to speak to the rock. But he was so mad, he hit the rock twice. And the Word of God says, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, who was that rock? That rock was Jesus Christ. If somebody crucifies him again, that means when you are living in sin, denying the blood of Jesus Christ, denying the truth, you are rejecting Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That means you're crucifying Jesus Christ again.
That's right.
So the devil was watching that Moses committed sin. So now he thinks, now Moses is mine. So he wanted a dead body of Moses. Michael had a lot of power. Peter says, the mighty angel, a lot of power. He would have said to devil, you liar, you deceiver, you filthy, whatever he could have said. But what did he say? He says, the Lord rebuke you. What does it mean?
Amen.
He did not use the foul language.
That's right.
He did not use any dirty language. He said, let the Lord rebuke thee. What Jude is trying to say. He says, you are sitting in the church and trying to say filthy about your pastor. Filthy language about your authorities. If you do, Peter says, they will be destroyed. If anyone points the finger to the man of God, the Word of God says you should not be putting the finger to the man of God until you are two or three witnesses. And if you do, you will be punished. That's what he's saying. These are filthy dreamers, speaking evil about dignities. Okay, let's go further. Verse 10.
But these speak evil of those things which they know not. For what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward.
Now he said, what kind of people are this? These people are just like a Cain, way of Cain, or way of Balaam. What is the special about Cain? Cain killed his own innocent brother without a cause. That's what he said, you people are doing it. Another example he said, Balaam. Do you know the Balaam story? Balaam was called by Balak, and he said, come and curse these children of Israel. I'll give you a lot of money. You know what Balaam says? Even though you give me a house full of money, I will not go, I will not do it. What he was trying to say, give me more, not house full, maybe two house full. What he was trying to say, I want more money. And finally, God did not allow him to curse the children of Israel. And when he went home, the Balak was so mad, the king. He said, you better find out some way to destroy these children of Israel. I'll give you whatever you want. What did he do? He got, I got an idea. Only God can punish his people when they commit sin. So let's get some young girls to dance around and invite all these young people and entice them. And they will go with them and marry them, and then God will be angry. And exactly he did it. Thousands and thousands of Israeli people died. But the word of God says the Balaam also was killed by so. He was greedy. He got lots of money, lots of fame, and evil ideas, but he was not able to enjoy it. He got killed. All his fame, all the money, and all the evil ideas gone. So the word of God says, God knows how to destroy the evildoer. Okay, let's read verse 12 and 13.
These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots.
How much he can say he doesn't know? How much bad Amen. These people are, twice dead. Yeah. Okay, let's read Peter also and then I'll come back. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 17 to 20.
These are wells without water, clouds that are carried, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, the same as he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning.
So these are the people trying to tell you, I'm telling you liberty and freedom, but they are tangled themselves in the yoke of bondage. They are saying something but cannot deliver. Those kind of people are telling you, this is better, learn from us. Okay, last verse and then we'll finish here. Verse 13.
Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever.
Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness and darkness forever. He says, what are the raging waves of the sea? What does it mean? He's talking about the troubles. When you see the troubled sea, what happens? He brings the big waves from the middle of the sea and it tossed it to the shore. And what he brings? All dirt, all the trash, and all the bad hidden in the sea. This kind of people, they will bring all dirt, all trash. They are troublemakers.
That's right. Amen.
And that's what he's saying. Let's read the Isaiah 57. Verses 20 and 21.
But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt.
And the wicked are what? Like a troubled sea,
yes.
And amen. They never rest.
Oh, yes.
What does that mean? They have no peace, so they don't want other people to help. How can I pull somebody? Let's read verse 21.
There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked.
There is no peace. That's what the wicked are. And they have no peace. Wandering away from God. No peace. No God. They are wandering stars. So he says, those kind of people, they were stars. But now what? Wandering star. The angel was like a shining like a star.
Amen.
Today he's in a darkness, in a chain, and waiting for the judgment. Our God is a good God. He has saved us.
Oh, yeah.
He has kept us. We have belonged to him.
Okay.
We should be thankful to God.
Amen.
That's why Jude is saying, God has given you a precious faith.
Amen.
Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a good God. You are a miracle-working God. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you for your high calling. You have called us with a definite high calling. You have given us your power and your wisdom and your grace. You came to destroy the works of the devil. You have given us the same power so we can destroy the works of the devil. Let us be overcomers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.